The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
The proclamation of the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The Jews murmured about Jesus because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? Do we not know his father and mother? Then how can he say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Stop murmuring among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except the one who is from God, he has seen the Father. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that no one may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I have to write my homily. I'm a little bit nervous, okay? So that I will not, you know, in the Philippines, you can have a homily as long as 30 minutes. Okay? In last Sunday's gospel, we had Jesus corrected the motives of people following him. They followed him because they were fed, and that because of the miraculous signs that Jesus performed. They came to follow Jesus for their personal and material needs, and even failed to recognize Jesus as the one sent by the Father. Jesus had to warn them not to look for food that spoils and does not last, rather to look for the food that will endure them to eternal life, which Jesus gives them. The correction of Jesus brought them to enlightenment, understanding, and belief by asking Jesus, "Sir, give us this bread always." You know, I saw a post in Facebook that goes this way: "The bread rises in the yeast and settles in the waste." The gospel reading today is a continuation of Jesus' discourse on the bread of life. Jesus proclaims that he is the bread of life that came down from heaven. The statement triggers misunderstanding and grumbling from the Jews. Let us try to reflect three things: the grumblings, the explanation, and the invitation of Jesus to listen to the word of God and eat the bread of life. The grumbling. What is the cause of the grumbling? Do the people fully understand what they are grumbling about? And this happens to us too. When Jesus proclaimed that he is the bread of life that came down from heaven, people reacted and complained to each other. The reaction was triggered by their personal knowledge that Jesus is only the son of Joseph and Mary. This is what happens when our judgment of things is only limited to the level of the senses and fail to see beyond. Aristotle once said, "Little learning is very dangerous." The explanation. Jesus reveals his identity and mission. He announces his identity, that he is from the Father and he is the bread of life. His mission is to bring people to the Father through him by proclaiming the word. But Jesus warns us that no one can come to the Father unless he is drawn by the Father. This statement involves a twofold process. First, to come to the Father, we need the grace of God. We cannot do it on our own. Remember, when Peter confessed that Jesus was the Son of the living God, Jesus told him that if not for the Father, he could not have revealed who he is. God always draws us to him through the proclamation of the word in the Eucharist and in the celebration of the sacraments, or when we gather together in prayer. Hence, the grace of God draws us to him. Second, the effectivity of the proclamation of the word and the Eucharist depends on how we respond and cooperate in the workings of the Holy Spirit in us. St. Paul tells us that the love of God has been poured out to us through the Holy Spirit. In other words, it is how we live the grace of God in our lives. This is what St. Paul tells us in the second reading. To live in the grace of God is to eradicate the evils in our lives: bitterness, fury, anger, shouting, reviling, and malice. And instead, we must be compassionate, forgiving to one another. We should be imitators of God, living in love. Grace and sin cannot go together. Another tidbits: evils, lives. They are spelled the same, with the same letters. But if you disarrange them, either you choose evil or you choose life. So my brothers and sisters, life is always a choice. The invitation: to listen to the word of God and to eat the bread of life as spiritual nourishment. To listen to the word of God is to be silent. Again, take note of the letters of listen and silent. They are composed of the same letters. So when you listen, you have to be silent. When you are silent, you are to listen. My brothers and sisters, the listening involves two things also. That is, to hear the word of God, and second, to obey the word of God. Remember the explanation earlier. It is through the word that we are drawn to the Father, and it is through the obedience to the word that we are of the Father. Jesus says, "He who does the will of my Father is my mother, brother, and sister to me." So it is not enough that we hear the word of God, but it is rather in obeying the word of God that we are identified with the Father. So, as I mentioned, it is not enough that we only listen or hear the word of God. Listening involves obedience. So Jesus invites us to eat the bread that came down from heaven. For whosoever eats this bread will live forever, and this bread is his flesh for the life of the world. This statement truly is beyond the comprehension and understanding of any mortal. This is the reason for their grumbling. We can only follow and emulate St. Augustine when he said, "Credo et intelligam," meaning, "I believe in order to understand." The statement of Jesus again implies two things. First, it refers to his dying on the cross, giving his own life for the life of the world. And second, to feed on his word and in the Eucharist as our spiritual nourishment. In the first reading, Elijah was sustained by the breath both physically and spiritually to reach Mount Horeb. But the bread of life that Jesus offers us gives us spiritual nourishment and enables us to reach eternal life. We are sustained by the word of God and the bread of life in our spiritual journey. Is this not what the Holy Mass is all about, where we are invited to celebrate and participate? In the liturgy of the word, we are nourished by his word. In the liturgy of the Eucharist, we are nourished by his body and blood. Now, I have another reason why I am here. Again, as mentioned earlier, I'm Father Jobert Felicis of the Diocese of Calibo, Philippines. I am the classmate of Father Ed in theology at the University of Santo Tomas in Manila. This is my third year of visiting him. This is our way of getting together and sharing our experiences and reflections about our priestly ministry. Actually, last week I was in St. Andrew's Parish in Myrtle Beach, for a mission appeal for the retired, elderly, and sickly priest of the Diocese of Galibo. But I have only one parish to do the mission appeal. I am in charge of the healthcare and retirement program of the diocese. As chair, I am designated to raise funds for the program so that we may be able to provide a comprehensive healthcare coverage and a reasonable retirement benefits for our clergy. At the moment, our funds are very much limited as the sources only come from the monthly contribution of the clergy. Our funds are not enough to sustain, to support and sustain the program. It is sad to know that our retirees, in spite of their failing health, have to engage in active ministry for their medical maintenance and other life-supporting necessities. Most of them have no savings. We want to relieve them from these usual concerns. A number of our young clergy are already suffering from debilitating diseases like diabetes, kidney problems, heart ailments, arthritis, among others. Just recently, two of our middle-aged priests suffered from stroke and are now undergoing medical and physical rehabilitation. We are now constructing a retirement home for our retired elderly and sickly priest. We thank the Papal Foundation of the United States of America for the funding. At present, our retirees stay with their families and relatives or in the parish that is a place for them to accommodate. We want to provide them with a decent place, a qualified personal and first aid facilities to assist them in their crucial needs. We are in need of more funds for the amenities and medical facilities to make the place operational and functional. We are building a home for them now where they can feel safe, secure, and comfortable because we believe they deserve our love and care as they are in the twilight years of their lives. God willing, next year, if I will be allowed to return to your diocese, I will be doing the mission appeal for the small and struggling parochial schools in the diocese. Many of our parents have enrolled their children to public schools where everything is shouldered by the government. If not supported, these parochial schools will soon close. The parochial schools cannot compete with the government in terms of budget and resources. I am doing this campaign because I am also in charge of the Committee on Catholic Education. Raising funds in our place is quite a difficulty as we are always struck with natural calamities and also from the untested economic measures and corrupt practices. Right now, the whole of Marikina, that is the central part of Luzon, and Quezon City, are flooded. So it's so surprising that at this time of the year, it's supposed to be in the middle of August, the weather is okay. But again, the typhoon has not even reached the island of the Philippines. There is no landfall, but the heavy rains caused the flooding, and classes are again suspended. The climate change has impacted on the livelihood of our people. They themselves are struggling in meeting the basic needs of decent living. In their effort to be generous, what they are sharing are not enough to sustain the needs of the parish, and more so to support the clergy. Currently, we are confronted with the weakening of the peso, the high inflation rate, the increasing rise in the prices of basic commodities, among many others. Life is getting more difficult. The promise of heaven on earth by our current government remains a promise and even worsened our lot. We welcome your help in supporting the healthcare and retirement program for our retired elderly and sickly priests, the provision of medical facilities and amenities for the retirement home, and the assistance for small struggling parochial schools. We greatly and deeply appreciate your financial assistance. I know you love the priest in spite of our many weaknesses and failings, and you are very much willing to support and share your blessings even to our diocese. We all know that love knows no boundaries, and God loves and blesses bountifully the cheerful giver. Before I end my homily, I would like to share with you an old joke which I believe you may have heard already. There was once an old lady who approached the priest requesting for a mass intention to her favorite and loved dog that just died. And the priest replied that the church does not accept such intention. But the old lady was quick to reply to the priest that she was supposed to give a $10,000 donation for the intention. In reply, the priest faulted the old lady for not telling him immediately that her dog was Catholic. Sometimes when in need, anything works. I would like to thank Father Ed and Father Ryan for giving me this opportunity to celebrate this Holy Mass and being given the opportunity to share with you our cause. We keep you in our prayers. May God reward your generosity and kindness with his choicest, countless, and endless blessings. Amen.